And today on ICMDA webinars, we're privileged to have Geoffrey Pang speaking to us on the subject of sex, porn, and the church. And this talk's going to delve into the pervasive use of pornography within church communities. Yes, within church communities, acknowledging the growing concern and the need for awareness. And we're going to explore the harmful effects of pornography on mental health, relationships, and of course, spiritual well-being. And also delve into the neuroscience of pornography addiction, shedding light on its impact on the brain, neuroplasticity, and all that kind of stuff. And additionally, Geoffrey's going to address the role of the church in combating this issue, emphasizing the importance of open dialogue, education, and fostering a supportive environment for individuals who are struggling with pornography addiction. So it will encourage proactive measures within the church community to promote healing, accountability, and a culture of restoration. So that's what we're about today. Geoffrey has been married to Regina for 25 years. He's the proud father of Rachel and Joseph. He serves as an elder in a local church. And in his free time, he served as a helicopter pilot with Singapore Air Force for 18 years from 1990 to 2008. And thereafter, he spent 13 years as a commercial pilot with Jetstar Asia. A midlife crisis during the pandemic led him to pursue a master's in counseling. And he became a professional counselor in January 2023 with Indigo & Co., which is a nonprofit organization focused on gender and sexuality issues. Geoffrey recently completed a diploma in sex addiction, and his burden is really to help young people overcome pornography and sex addiction. So Geoffrey, just such a pleasure to have you here addressing such an important subject. And we really look forward to hearing what you have to say and engaging with you in the Q&A afterwards. Thanks, brother. Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. But it is indeed a great privilege and honor to speak to you about this very important but also very urgent topic. It is indeed a big burden of mine to help people, young people, especially in the church, to overcome porn and sex addiction. As Peter was saying, I work full-time as a counselor now. I used to be a pilot. But I work full-time as a counselor. My specialization is actually in dealing with sex and porn addiction. So these are my background. I, like Peter mentioned, I got my Master's of Counseling with Swinburne, University of Technology with Melbourne. I finished that in the end of 2022. And last year, because of my burden, I got a diploma in working with compulsive sexual behavior disorder and sex addiction with Institute for Sex Addiction Training with UK. And currently, I'm a member of Singapore Association for Counseling and also the Association for the Treatment of Sex Addiction and Compulsivity with the UK. Yeah, so that's my credentials. Okay, the agenda for today, basically what is pornography? How serious is the pornography issue in church? And thirdly, what is wrong with watching pornography? I mean, a lot of people, especially outside the church, tell me that there's nothing wrong with pornography. Everyone is doing it, so what's wrong with it? So I'm just going to share from different perspective what's wrong with watching pornography and why you should be concerned. And lastly, what can we do about it? Okay. So basically, what is pornography? Pornography, basically, it's a combination of two Greek words. The first is porne, meaning prostitutes. And the second is graphene, meaning to write about. So pornography means to write about prostitutes or prostitution. Well, we see in ancient times, pornography was not images, but words. But what is important is the function of the content or the purpose intended by the creator, adopted by the user, or both. So for the purposes of today's discussion, pornography is anything that one uses for personal sexual arousal. So pornography can be images, pictures, it could be videos, it could also be cartoons. Anime, the Japanese cartoon, anime, erotic anime, that's very popular among young people, young women. And pornography also includes novels, stories, fiction. Erotic novels is also a form of pornography. So basically, anything that one uses for personal sexual arousal is considered pornography. So how serious is this porn issue in the church? Before I go into the how serious it is, I just want to give a proposition to you. What if somebody comes to your pastor in church or your leadership in church and tell them that the devil is offering free drugs to 75% of your congregation? Some of them as young as 12 years old are exposed to this drug. And after taking the drug, up to 50%, half of your church will be addicted to this drug. And the bad thing is, this drug is freely available. And the worst thing is, your government and the governments around the world cannot do anything to stop it. Is this even possible? But before I answer the question, let's go on. This person is Josh McDowell. Some of you may know him. He's an American evangelist. He's a Christian author. He published a 2,000-page document sometime in 2021. The title of the document is The Porn Epidemic. You are all medical professionals. You know what is an epidemic. And especially after we have gone past a global pandemic. And he published this 2,000-page document with the title The Porn Epidemic. And in that document, he said, we have a gigantic challenge facing the church and families today. So how big is porn today? This is taken from his research by McDowell Ministries. The bars, the vertical bars, represent the number of porn web pages on the internet. And you can see just with a glance that there is an exponential rise in the number of porn web pages on the internet. You know, starting from the bottom left in 1998, around the time of the advent, the invention of the internet, there were about 14 million porn web pages on the internet then. And then sometime around the early 2000s and the late 1990s, there was the invention of the high-speed or broadband internet. And there was a big jump that resulted in a big jump in the number of porn web pages on the internet. So around 2003, about 20 years ago, it was recorded that there were 260 million web pages, porn web pages on the internet. And then fast forward 3 years later in 2006, there was almost a double in the number of web pages, 420 million porn web pages. Around the early 2000, 3G mobile data network was invented, and that fueled the rise in the number of web pages. And in the mid to late 2000, smartphone, iPhone was invented in 2007, and the iPad was invented in 2010. That again fueled the big rise, as you see in 2012, almost a billion porn web pages on the internet. In 2018, about 6 years ago now, there were about 2.3 billion, with a B, porn web pages on the internet. Last year, 2023, the latest number, There are estimated 3 billion porn web pages on the internet. That's a staggering number. 3 billion. What it means is that there is one web page, porn web page, for every two human beings on Earth. Those are staggering numbers. So the point of this page is to inform us actually the problem doesn't exist. Porn addiction or porn problem doesn't exist. It's not that big of a problem until 10, 15 years ago. But with the invention of technology, with the invention of smartphones and smart devices, that has really fueled the rise of porn web pages on the internet. This is research taken from Barna. Barna is an American Christian research organization. This research was done in 2016. It's really about 8 years old. I quote, "The internet has exploded porn globally. The web has changed everything." Why? Because the internet has made porn available, easily accessible, admissible. It's free, affordable, anonymous. You can hide behind a screen name. It is appealing. It is alternative, arousing. It affirms, and it is aggressive. There is more and more violent porn posted on the internet each passing day. And lastly, it is also addictive. So what, how big is the porn problem in church? So based on the Barna research that was done 2016, they found this was done in the US churches in America, but I think the numbers are about the same globally. Christian men in American churches between the ages of 13 and 24 years old, they found that slightly above 40% of the Christian men between those ages watch porn frequently. And for men, Christian men above 25, about a quarter, 23%, watch porn frequently. Even the females are also watching porn. So Christian females in churches in America between the ages of 13 and 24, about 13% of them watch porn frequently. And those above 25, about 5% of them watch porn frequently. These numbers are, mind you, 8 years old. I don't have the latest numbers, but anecdotally or based on what I've read, the numbers have gone up, especially during the pandemic years, during the lockdown in 2020 and 2021. More worryingly, the research has also found that more than half, almost 60% of pastors and 64% of youth pastors admit they have struggled with porn, either currently or in the past. And 21% of youth pastors and 14% of pastors admit they currently struggle with using porn. So those are quite staggering numbers. 57% of pastors say porn addiction is the most damaging issue in the congregation. And 60, can't see the number here, 69% of pastors say porn has adversely impacted the church. But more worryingly, only 7% of pastors say their church has a program to help people struggling with pornography. Earlier, I showed you a picture of Josh McDowell, the American evangelist, in a video. I don't have time to show the video. I must apologize. But in one of the videos, talking about the porn problem in churches, this is what he said. He said, in the 2000-year history of the church, he believes that pornography is the greatest threat to the church for 2000 years. And that's coming from a man who has been in ministry for a good 50 years. Yeah, that is quite an amazing statement to make. This is Dr. Chuck Swindoll. He is an American Bible teacher, pastor. And this is what he said. This was almost quoted, I think it was 10 years ago. He passed away a few years back. Dr. Swindoll said, the most recent studies available suggest that one out of every two people, that's 50%, of the people sitting in our pews are looking at and or could be addicted to internet pornography. Truth be told, that statistic could be even higher. My friend, it is time to do something about it. In fact, we need to start today. Making a difference requires action. Our churches are in trouble. There is no time to simply wait and pray. It is a very, very serious problem. And it is a big burden of mine to help young men and women overcome this porn problem in church. So what's wrong with watching pornography? To most non-Christians, watching pornography is normal, it's harmless. But I'm going to show you that watching pornography, even in a secular way, it's not harmless, and why you should be concerned. So firstly, engaging in pornography is sin. Jesus, in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, 28, he said, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So that is what watching pornography is, right? To look at images, look at another human being with lustful intent. In fact, some people say that watching pornography and masturbating to it, it's like is akin to having sex with yourself or having sex with a screen. That's what it is. So it is a sin because you are lusting after another human being with lustful intent. You're looking at the person with lustful intent, and it is a sin. We have already committed a sin in our hearts. Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. He says, flee from sexual immorality. In verse 20, he says, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. God has redeemed our bodies. God has paid for our bodies with the blood of his own son, Jesus Christ. So we are not our own, and we are to use our body to glorify God and not to use it for self-pleasure. So engaging in pornography and masturbating to it is engaging in self-pleasure, and that is a sin according to Paul. Pornography also debases sex and human beings. We know, we're familiar in Genesis, that God created man and woman in his own image. That means that we have value, we have dignity as a human being because we are created by God, and we carry the image of God himself in each and every one of us. But what pornography does is it turns a human being into a sex object, an object of pleasure. You're also told in the Bible that sex is designed by God to be beautiful. It's something beautiful, something precious. Sex is an expression of the radical intimacy between a man and a woman in marriage. Sex is not the ultimate thing. It is the oneness, it is the intimacy between a man and a woman. Because in Genesis 1, the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve became one flesh. And that's radical intimacy. And sex is an expression of that radical intimacy. And it's meant to be something beautiful. But pornography has debased sex, have made sex demeaning. And it becomes a form of self-gratification and self-pleasure. That's what pornography is. I mean, it is a false promise by the devil. Pornography is, the devil tells us that through pornography, we can have sex. We can enjoy the pleasures of sex without the commitment that is required. Because you need commitment to be in a marriage. You need hard work. You need to put in work. You need to be committed to another person. You need to get to know another person to be in that one flesh relationship. But pornography is a lie by Satan that you can enjoy the pleasures of sex without the commitment. And that's what pornography is. It's a lie by the devil. And pornography can also cause addiction. The addiction word comes from the Latin word addicere, which means enslave. In a research that was done about 10 years ago by the University of Cambridge, the researchers did a brain scan of a drug addict and also a porn addict. And they found that the brain scans revealed the same brain activity between a drug addict and a porn addict. Basically, the bottom line is you can get addicted to porn in the very same way that one can get addicted to drugs and alcohol. So engaging in pornography over the long term can cause addiction issues. Pornography can also cause other sexual sins. In the research done by Josh McDowell, he found that there was a link between sexual violence and pornography. People who watch pornography on a regular basis, they are at risk of committing sexual offenses and accepting rape myths. I told you that I'm a counselor. I counsel a lot of people that has porn and sex addiction. And as you are all medical professionals, you know that one of the hallmarks of addiction is that the brain develops a tolerance to the substance or the behavior. And what you need is more and more of the substance or more of the behavior to get the same high over time. So escalation, needing more and more of the substance or behavior in order to get the same high is a hallmark of addiction. So for people that are addicted to porn, they are no longer satisfied with just watching porn. They want to act out what they see. So a lot of my clients, after years, 10, 15 years of watching pornography, they engage in sexual offenses like molest, like voyeurism, taking upskirt videos and taking videos or pictures of people in toilet or bathrooms. And that escalation is a hallmark of pornography addiction. So these are the spiritual consequences of porn addiction. I just want to focus your attention to the left, the top two. Shame and guilt is a big thing among religious communities that are engaged in porn and porn addiction. Because of the shame and guilt, they feel very distant from God. They feel isolated from community. In fact, there is a young man I know in my church that refuses to serve and refuses to get baptized because of the shame and guilt from porn. So it is very real. Christians who engage in porn, who are addicted to porn, feel a lot of shame and guilt. They feel spiritually defeated because they are in this endless cycle of repenting and falling, repenting and falling over and over again. There is no assurance of salvation. There is no joy in their Christian walk. And like I said, they isolate themselves from community. I mean, that's what the devil is trying to do, isn't it? The devil wants to tear us away from God, wants to pull us as far away from God as possible. And porn is one of the ways to do it. And these are the secular consequences of porn. Porn is not harmless. Many people think that watching porn is harmless, but no, it is not. I want to focus your attention to the right, top right. Porn induced erectile dysfunction. It is a very real thing. Many of you may not know about this, but it is a real dysfunction. The typical profile of the men that I see in my organization, they are exposed to porn when they are in their teenage years, 14 years old, 15 years old. By the time they reach 30 years old, they would have watched porn for a good 10 to 15 years. And what I found is a lot of some young men, they develop this porn-induced erectile dysfunction. Basically, they cannot get an erection in a bedroom. They can only get an erection when watching porn. And it is a big problem in marriages. I recently saw a young man who, in 6 years of marriage, he only had one encounter of penetrative sex with his wife. And in fact, the wife filed for divorce last year. And yeah, it's very sad. It is very, very sad. He started watching, this young man started watching pornography since he was 9 years old. And today he's 35 years old. So he has watched porn for 15 years. Yeah. And he has affected his marriage. Yeah. So the bottom line is porn is not harmless. Yeah. There are many, many consequences of porn. So back to the question, the proposition I posed to you at the beginning of the webinar, is this possible? Yes, it is. Porn is a new drug. In fact, that's the title of a research that was done by an American Christian organization. They came out and declared that pornography is a new drug. Yeah, it's affecting up to half of our churches, or maybe even more. And it's a huge problem in churches around the world. Can you imagine half of your future pastors, missionaries, cell group leaders, small group leaders, elders, deacons, are all affected by porn? And they all feel defeated spiritually. They all feel distant from God. And it's just a terrible thing that has happened to the church. I think that it is an attack on the church by the devil, and we need to do something about it. So basically, what can we do about it? I don't have time to go into details, into all the points, but I just want to urge every one of you to pray about this issue, because I think it is as much a spiritual issue as it is a addiction problem or moral problem, but is also a spiritual attack on the church. Like I told you, 50%, up to 50%, or maybe even more, of the young men and women in your church are engaging in porn. So I would urge you to pray alongside me. I pray every week about this problem. And also tell your church leaders, tell your pastors to do something about this problem. Later on, I'll give you resources to access the research done by Josh McDowell. You can print it, you can download it, it's free. You can show it to your pastors, you can show it to your leaders, and tell them to understand the issue. Because it's not purely a moral problem. One of the failings of the church when dealing with this problem is we tend to see this porn issue as purely a moral choice or moral problem. But like I told you earlier, that porn addiction is just like any other addiction. It is a brain problem as much as it is a porn problem. We need to understand the issue and don't see it purely as a moral issue, because it can deepen the shame and guilt in Christians that are struggling with porn. And it makes it so much harder for Christians to seek help. Yeah. And last thing I would urge you to maybe ask your pastors or leaders to do a survey, anonymous survey of your church, to see how deep or big is a problem in your church. Basically, it's not a purely a moral problem. You cannot solve it by Bible study. You need a lot more than that. And some of the people that are struggling with porn addiction, the issue can be very serious. You need professional help to help them overcome that. So what if you know someone who watches porn? What can you do about it? Okay, so I offer this very simple tool, CPR. I'm sure all of you know CPR. So C, confess. I think for people that are struggling with porn addiction, I think it's very important that they find a trusted brother or sister in church and confess the problem to them. I think it's by bringing this issue from darkness into light can help to reduce the shame and the guilt because of hiding this issue. It can make the shame and the guilt that the person feel much worse. So by confessing the problem, by asking maybe a brother or sister in church to hold them accountable, it helps to reduce the shame and the guilt. And then the person is more willing to seek help, other forms of help. P for pray, I think like I mentioned, you need to pray, because I think it's as much a spiritual issue as it is a moral or an addiction issue. And the second P is actually to pursue Jesus. I think St. Augustine is the one who said that all human beings have a God-sized or God-shaped hole in our hearts. And we try to fill it with the things of this world, right? And the thing is, nothing can satisfy us. As I mentioned earlier, you know, pornography is a lie by the devil that we can get sexual pleasure without the commitment. But pornography doesn't truly satisfy us. It's like eating cotton candy. I'm not sure whether you have tried cotton candy or candy floss. You know, it's like, it looks like a cotton ball, but it's sweet. You put it in your mouth, it's sweet, but it lasts for 5 seconds. But after that, the sweetness is gone. And it leaves you more hungry than before you started because of the sugar high and the sugar low. Pornography is like that, right? It satisfies you for 5 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. But after that, you just feel a lot emptier. You feel the emptiness inside. So the ultimate solution is to pursue Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the only one that can truly satisfy all of us. And lastly, the R is remove excess. You can install a porn filter. Later on, I can give you some resources. Porn filter, porn blocker on your devices. They are very effective. You can get somebody, a brother or a sister, to hold you accountable. There are things that you can do. For example, if you have kids at home and they have access to computer, maybe put a computer in a public place, like in a living room or in a place where other adults can see what they are looking at. Another practice you can do is to leave your mobile devices outside your bedroom and don't bring them into your bedroom. That's a good practice too. So CPR, simple, something that, you know, you can tell someone, you know, if you think that someone is addicted to porn, you can share these tools with them. Okay, this is just a reiteration of what Dr. Chuck Swindoll has said. My friend, it's time to do something about it. In fact, we need to start, I would say, yesterday. Making a difference requires action. Our churches are in trouble. This is no time to simply wait and pray. I mean, church leaders, church pastors need to act. And I would beseech you, if your church pastors are not doing something about it, please tell them to do something about it. These are some of the resources. The research by Josh McDowell is the first one. The research by Barner is the second one. The porn filter is at the end. I saw in the chat, Covenant Eyes is a good one. Another one is Custudio, which I use for my son. It's a good one as well. I'm sure there are others, but these are two of the better ones that I know of. I think that's all I have.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Jeffrey, for that overview and highlighting the sheer size of the problem and the fact that it is largely ignored in churches. I'm just trying to remember the last time I heard pornography mentioned in my church in any of the teaching, and I'm struggling to remember at all, and I'm sure that's the case in a lot of places. You've highlighted incredibly well, especially the effects on young people and their vulnerability towards it, and also the fact that this is not just a moral problem, but actually an addiction issue, which may involve professional help as well. So my first question to you is, at what age should we start to be addressing this issue in church? And what's the best way of addressing it, particularly for young people?
What's best age? I think we need to go upstream to start with the parents. I think that's very helpful. I think it is important from a very early age to inform our children, to educate our children about God's design for sex. I think that's a good start. If you were to ask me, I started with my children about the ages of 8 to 9. I began to educate them about God's design for sex. And I also, I learned this from reading materials, Christian materials, about the need to demystify sex for our children. Because many a times we are so ashamed of talking about the birds and the bees, the sex with our children. But it is very important, I think, to be the first ones to educate our children. Otherwise, our children will, out of curiosity, they will learn it from their friends, they will learn it from the internet. So we must be the first ones to educate our children about God's design for sex, to demystify sex for them. And that's very important, the purposes of sex, to imbue in them a positive view of sex. And I think as soon as a child has access to devices, I think the education has to come in about the dangers of free access on the devices and internet. So I think some form of restrictions is good for parents to put on the use of devices, the access to internet. Again, I can't put a definitive age. It depends on the maturity of the child, the ability to handle responsibility of the child, the obedience of the child, things like that. So for my own children, here in Singapore, my children had devices maybe from the ages of, I would say 10 onwards, just for the ability to have access to a phone call if I need them, but they don't have access to internet. The access to internet came much later, when they were in secondary schools, about maybe 14, 15 years old, depending on the ability to handle responsibility. Yeah. So yeah, okay. those are the things that I would watch out for.
Thanks. And so important, isn't it, to bring it back to the family and how many parents just feel awkward talking about these things, and then a wonderful opportunity to put preventive measures in place is missed. But Jeffrey, how about the church? How do we get pastors and pastoral teams engaged with this issue and teaching about it in, you know, everything from youth groups up to Sunday sermons and small groups and so on? Any tips on what you've found has been successful?
From what I know, there is a Methodist church in Singapore. What they have done is they have gone into Sunday schools, children in primary schools from ages as young as 7 or 8 years old. They have gone in with very basic education on God's design for sex. They start from a very early age. It is very simple, very basic about God's design for sex. Not explicit stuff, but it's just simple teaching and education. And also it comes with telling them what is educating the young people, what is bad touch and what is a good touch for young children, so that they can recognize it. At the same time, they are who is allowed to touch them in a certain way, and ask them to tell their parents or tell their guardian or teachers if they were touched inappropriately. These are some of the things that are so important. So I know a church here in Singapore who started right in Sunday school with very young kids, about 8 to 9. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would say that if you can start as early as possible, start from Sunday school with the basics of God's purpose for sex, God's design for sex, I think that's a very, very good start. Yeah.
Now, you've highlighted the problem of, well, just the problem of denial in the churches generally, that we don't talk about this, but also the guilt and shame that people, particularly young people, will feel if they're in the grip of this. And of course, often thinking they might be the only one and afraid to confess it. And yet the first step towards healing is actually confession. And how can we create a safe environment for people to be able to come forward and feel that they can say, you know, I'm really struggling with this, and be listened to and helped?
I've been doing this for about a year. So I've seen about 30 clients. And about 70% of my clients are Christians. And what they commonly tell me is that they don't feel safe to share what they share with me in their own church.
Mm.
So some of the struggles that they have with pornography, some of them have same-sex attraction. They watch homosexual pornography, and they watch maybe even pornography that are, you know, like, for example, violent pornography or incest pornography. They don't feel safe telling people in church. So I think one of the things that we can do as a body of Christ is to create a safe space for people to share their struggles, to confess their sins without judgment, without criticism, without fear of judgment. That is so important, that we can, when you can create safe groups for men and women who have similar struggles to come together to share their deepest struggles, their deepest struggles they have with pornography, their sexual fantasies, in a very safe, confidential environment, and they don't feel judged. Then they can, when they bring the problem from darkness into light, that's the beginning of healing. When they realize that there are many people in church who share the same struggles as them, they are not alone, they can find help, and that quitting pornography is actually possible, It gives them hope. And then when you have people who have overcome pornography in those groups, telling them the struggles, the journey they've been through, I think it just adds tremendous hope and energy to people who are struggling with this problem. Yeah.
You've highlighted the addictive elements of pornography, and particularly the brain changes that we see, both in function and also later in structure, can be similar to those problems that we get with substance addiction, with drugs and alcohol and so on. And you've also highlighted, as you said, this is not just a moral issue, but an addiction issue. At what stage should one be seeking or advising professional help, as opposed to just counseling within a church context? And what sort of professional help is available for people who are really badly hooked into porn addiction?
That's a very good question, Peter. Research has shown that one of the pornography or compulsive sexual behavior or pornography addiction is one of the symptoms of attachment injuries and trauma injuries. So that means that when people have suffered attachment injuries in the past, especially in childhood, with their caregivers, with their parents, they can use pornography addiction as a form of coping mechanism for the pain. And for people who have gone through trauma, trauma of parental separation, neglect, abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, even verbal and psychological abuse, one of the effects of trauma is addiction. And porn addiction, sex addiction is one of them. So if the person who is engaged in pornography addiction, sex addiction, as a result of attachment injuries, as a result of trauma injuries, I think it's best to seek professional help. So the kind of professionals they should be looking out for are, in America, they call them certified sex addiction therapists. In the UK, I know that, for example, the Institute of Sex Addiction Training or the Laurel Center, they have specialists who deal with sex addiction and porn addiction. So they are trained in the areas of addiction, in neuroscience, and using modalities to help people that are struggling with such addiction. Interestingly, enmeshment, young men who are enmeshed with a mother, who are very attached to their mother, one of the symptoms of that enmeshment is compulsive sexual behavior. So a lot of the men I see who are engaged in pornography addiction or even food compulsive eating, I found out that they have enmeshed relationship with the mother. That means they're over-attached to the mother, or the mother is overly attached to them. And one of the ways, because they are so enmeshed with the mothers, they are unable to individuate from the mother. And one of the way they assert independence is through compulsive sexual behaviors. Yeah, so in those instances, I think it's good to look for a professional help.
Yeah, fascinating. And you've highlighted very clearly there the fact that in process addictions like pornography addiction, very much like physical addiction, sex and alcohol and drug addiction, there's often an issue, some kind of pain that they're trying to dull that might come from past trauma that makes them particularly vulnerable to it. We've virtually run out of time. We've run slightly over, but I just wanted to ask you one more question, Jeffrey, before we close down. And that's the question about public policy. And you've hinted that many governments are doing nothing about this. Your scenario at the beginning with the devil making a particular drug available and the government doing nothing. Just a comment on effective legislative measures. What should Christians be lobbying, encouraging governments to do that might reduce this problem?
It's a big problem here in Singapore. I think I would imagine it's a big problem all over the world. I think one of the things that my organization is trying to do is to raise awareness among policymakers, amongst the government organizations like schools, for example, the Ministry of Education, to raise awareness about this problem amongst the young people, and what are the consequences of pornography addiction. Firstly, there must be an acknowledgement, there must be awareness, they must be educated about the problem before they can do something about it. That's number one. Mm. Number two, I think it's also good to perhaps draw up the research to determine the link between sexual offenses and pornography addiction. I think there is a very strong link. I'm not seeing enough research to draw that link between pornography addiction to sexual offenses. But if we can somebody or you know we can find research that can draw that link, a strong link between pornography addiction to sexual offenses, I think it'll be interest of the governments to go upstream and to maybe stem the problem there before it becomes a big problem to society. But then again, we also have to acknowledge that the porn industry is a very big and powerful and very rich industry. Yeah, so it's not an easy problem to solve. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeffrey, thanks so much. We could go on talking about this, but we're just really grateful to you for highlighting this issue, to doing it in a very, very clear and accessible way, but also for being so practical in terms of what the churches can do. So it just remains to me to say thank you so much, Jeffrey, for your time and expertise sharing with us today. So late, I gather it's after 11 p.m. now, so we will let you get to bed fairly soon. So we look forward to seeing you again soon on ICMDA webinars. May the Lord bless you. We'll see you soon. Thank you.